Hello and welcome to Living Money's Manifesto for Monday, the 2nd of March 2015. I'm Jeremy Deeds, financial life planner with over 25 years' experience in financial services, author of Right Money, Right Place, Right Time, and founder of Living Money. And as usual, on the first Monday of the month, it's time to take a look at global economies and markets. So at the moment, we are seeing really divergent growth throughout the global economy. So for instance, in the UK and the US, we're seeing steady though unexciting growth. Japan's very weak. The Eurozone is also extremely weak. And China and the emerging markets are slowing and could slow further before they start to recover. And globally, we have deflation and unemployment leading to global underperformance in the short term. What we've seen is global balance sheet taking a long time to recover. Even the US recovery has been the slowest for a century. However, in the US, bank balance sheet repair and quantitative easing have speeded up that recovery, and we hope we're going to see that elsewhere throughout the world as well. And there are challenges ahead, including ongoing deflation, a potential hard landing in China, ineffective quantitative easing in the Eurozone, and in particular dollar and sterling strength damaging the US and UK exports and growth, and also, of course, rising interest rates in the US and the UK. But bearing in mind that these are challenges rather than threats, and indeed rising interest rates are both inevitable and arguably a positive sign of a return to economic normality, let's have a quick look at the regions. So across in the US, 4Q GDP growth was revised down to 2.4%. Now, that sounds a bit rough, but when you look behind the figures, that downgrade is mainly due to a revision of inventory investment rather than any fundamental weakness in the economy. And indeed, the revisions actually show an increase in demand, leaner businesses, and potential for a pickup in manufacturing. In the Fed, the doves still dominate. We don't expect any rise in interest rates before June this year and probably towards the end of 2015. And even then, those interest rate rises are going to be very gradual. So the outlook for the US, rates starting to rise by the end of 2015 and see that as a positive sign. Money and credit will continue to increase. US employment figures are very positive. However, dollar strength is a threat to growth and rising interest rates will add to that dollar strength. Heading across to Europe and the UK, well, as we know, Greece and Europe reached an interim compromise last week. And that's brought some breathing space, although it is only breathing space and to a certain extent, the can has just been kicked down the road yet again. So that is going to raise its ugly head again in the not too distant future. Based on fourth quarter figures, GDP growth in Germany was just 1.5%, whilst in the UK it was 2.75%. Eurozone quantitative easing kicks in this month, and the prospect of that has led to further strong increases in European stock markets. So the outlook for Europe, well, it's still in poor shape. However, a falling euro, falling oil prices and quantitative easing should help. The outlook for the UK, we're into a sustainable upturn with rising confidence and prosperity. Rates are going to be on hold probably for another 12 months and even then are unlikely to be more than 1.75% by the end of the decade. However, sterling strength, as I've already mentioned, is a bit of a headwind for the UK economy. Heading across to the Far East, and what we see is Japanese stock markets at 15-year highs helped by a falling yen and domestic pension fund buying, especially from the huge government pension investment fund. And that fund is expected to continue its purchasing program. In China, the National People's Congress holds its annual meeting this week where fiscal growth policies and easing measures are expected to be announced, expectations which have already led to a boost to shares and obviously if they come good, could lead to yet a further boost in shares. And in India, the new government in India announced its budget on Saturday, which was generally well received. The economic survey, which always precedes the budget in India, was tabled in Parliament last week and described India as being in a sweet spot. I just want to have a look at the fixed interest market, because that's very interesting at the moment. Bonds had an exceptional year in 2014, benefiting from low growth and slow inflation, but don't expect that in 2015. We're going to see only very modest returns at the best in fixed interest this year. What we've got at the moment is negative interest rates in places, all-time year low yields, so it's not a good entry point into the bond market. Last year saw a huge inflow into bonds as investors sought security, but as the global economy starts to improve, we're going to see that reverse. Eurozone quantitative easing is going to push rates even lower, and the bond bubble is likely to end in misery as rising growth and inflation leads to a switch to equities and a bond sell-off. Let's have a look at some of the other global indicators. The oil price, that seems to have stabilized, although what we now see is a significant $12 gap between West Texas Intermediate and Brent crude. What we see is massive inventory build-ups in the US, keeping downward pressure on West Texas Intermediate, whilst Brent is benefiting from supply disruptions in Libya and forecast 3% increase in China's oil demand this year. On the currency markets, the euro and the yen continue to slide against the dollar, to the benefit of both those regions and obviously to the detriment of the US. Similarly, sterling has strengthened this year against the dollar and the euro, drawing support from steady economic growth in the UK. So before we wind up, let's have a look at what happened to markets in February. And generally, they were very positive. Japan was up 8%, Far East is up 2%, Europe was up 7%, the UK was up 6%, the US was up 4%. Oil, depending on how you measure it, was stable, down a little bit, ended the month at $48 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate. And gold was down 5% as investors took a slightly more rosy view of the global economy and got out of that defensive investment. So what's the bottom line? Well, we are at the start of the interest rate rise cycle. And historically, equities usually outperform in the first phase of the rise cycle and are likely to outperform over the next 3 to 5 years. We're likely to see a structural shift from bonds to equities as corporate growth takes over from central bank policy as the main driver of economic growth, i.e. normality is returning. In the US, quantitative easing has now ended and an interest rate rise is factored into the market already. Quantitative easing has been very good for equities in the US, although bad for bonds, except last year. And Eurozone quantitative easing should provide quite a good tailwind to the US economy as well. US valuations are now 17 times 2015 earnings, and that's a very acceptable figure. In Japan, equities are also looking good. Valuations are undemanding, especially on a long-term outlook, with the price-earnings ratio now at just 16 times earnings. Asian equity valuations are also attractive and earnings growth are okay, and emerging market equities are probably undervalued at the moment. Europe equity valuations are actually very attractive at the moment. They're well below their long-term average, and arguably certain European shares could be some of the best investment opportunities for the next 12 to 18 months if quantitative easing can provide that boost required to give a kick to those equity valuations. In the UK, equities are probably slightly overvalued against their long-term average, but undervalued against bonds. And the outlook for earnings is modest. So the UK outlook, okay, but nothing too exciting. So whilst there are challenges around, the outlook is not that bad, especially if you look at the bigger picture and the natural economic cycle. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, 2008 was no ordinary crisis. It was precipitated by structurally weak national and household balance sheet damaged by excessive debt. It was always going to take between 7 and 10 years to recover, and we are now in the final phases of that recovery. So it's time to look forward rather than back, and also time to ensure we have the correct asset allocation to ensure we can take advantage of the recovery and also to have the right money in the right place at the right time. And it's also important, because there are risks around, to have a balanced multi-asset class portfolio to protect against those macroeconomic risks. Before I go, a very quick bit about Living Money. Living Money coaches busy families in personal finance. We are not authorised to provide financial advice and do not recommend financial products. Instead, we aim to provide you with the tools and skills to buy the financial products that will best serve your life and money. Well, that's it for me. Thank you for listening. Have a very, very good week. Take care and go well.